In my opinion, Hurricane Ida was a blessing in disguise for the Saints.
Packers fans are idiots.
George Kittle loves to get yards, especially after the catch.
Welcome back to Certified Beef. On this episode, we will be looking at the Final Four. It is Wednesday, a couple days after, kind of just taking it all in. I mean, not much to take in. It was kind of a beatdown, kind of like last year. We'll also get into something that I've been very passionate about recently. I've been pissed off, is the stadium bullshit going on around in sports. And I have a lot of takes about that. But the Final Four, I would say the semifinal games were way better. I mean, it's like the problem is with these games is you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt. If you didn't watch them, it would look like blowouts. I mean, the NC State game was kind of a blowout, but it took till the second half. But these games were close up until like 10 minutes left in the second half. And then it was just kind of blowouts from there.
Yeah, it was these games were good going into the half. And then afterwards, like there was some very disappointing performances from some of the key guys. Obviously, let's start with NC State and Purdue. DJ Burns, come on, man. You did not perform up to what
he sucked. He sucked. He
what we thought suck. You were gonna do. Like that was supposed to be one of the best like games of the year. And it was a good game in the first half, but like Zach Edey just got him in foul trouble right away.
People who actually thought DJ Burns had a chance, like, come on. Like he's not a good defender. He was screwed.
But I thought he was going to be able to like pull ED out of the paint and like make some more nice passes. But he only finished with 4 assists and 8 points. Like, yeah, he did not get into his bag at all.
ED will literally just let him shoot and like, yeah, because ED just posts up in the down low and he just does his thing and like he'll give you the midi. And if you want to come in the paint, and plus like the biggest thing with DJ Burns is like the reason why he's so good is because he uses leverage and like weight distribution and shit. You know, there's no such thing as, yeah, there's, you can't do that against Edey. Edey's an immovable object because no matter what side you're on, he's so big. You can't spin one way. He's going to be there no matter what.
Yeah. I honestly think Ben Middlebrooks played a lot better than DJ Burns. I don't think that's a hot take at all.
I mean, they should have started him. I don't think they did.
No,
but they should have started him and had him on Edey and then have DJ Burns. I mean, they probably would have had Edey on DJ Burns anyways, but Ben Middlebrooks is a better defender. He should have been on Edey the entire game. But I mean, it's just kind of like it was kind of a given. Like you never see these teams like an 11 seed. And I mean, this team's not really, I wouldn't say comparable to like Loyola. But just these teams that make a magical run to the Final Four, it always comes to a halting end. And some people like to believe in it, that they're gonna do it all, but it never is gonna happen.
No.
Sadly.
Still like a fun ride. Like DJ, still a fun ride.
Yeah, it's fun. It just sucks though to an extent when this happens though, because it just takes away from the Final Four a little bit. Not saying Duke would have put up a great performance against Purdue. I think they would have. It's not biased at all. I just think they have a better team than NC State. I just think NC State's hot. I think Filipowski would have done something, would have made Edey's life a little bit harder. It is what it is. Like, it's fun. It's what you want to see in the final, in the tournament. But like my biggest thing, and like, I know it's a very bad take, which next year this is my take is going to be irrelevant because I'm betting all the underdogs next year. I'm doing it. But upsets are only good in the first two rounds. Once you get past the Sweet 16, it kind of like makes the tournament worse in a sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cause like you're taking out like some of the best teams in the country. So like these upsets, I feel like they're good for the first two rounds. And then after that, it's just like, I would rather just go chalk.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad like Oakland lost right away because they were not a good team at all.
No.
They would not have gone very far anyways. No. They just happened to run into NC State.
Yeah. Hey, Oakland literally killed John Calipari at Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. Going to Arkansas. So,
yeah, this is weird. Yeah, I don't know. It was like I don't know, like it was a given that Purdue was just, they looked dominant and Edie's was dominant the whole time. And it was really just setting up for Purdue to make it to the title game.
It's just kind of funny because looking at like the box score, that was one of Edie's quieter games, like just 20 and 12, like played all 40 minutes. But like that was
crazy. I don't understand how that dude,
like it wasn't like a 30 bomb or anything like that. Braden Smith. Holy crap, was that an awful game for him? Still 8 assists, but I guess 6 assists, 8 boards.
He sucked. Yeah,
that was by far one of the worst games I've ever seen, like, guards play. I guess Lance Jones and Fletcher Lawyer did all right, but when your main guy is not doing it, you're going to struggle.
Yep. Yeah. And then the other game was it was tough because it was like I said, like with this game, it was like inevitable because Alabama played an absolute perfect half, first half, and they still were losing at halftime. Like, it's just crazy how unbelievable UConn was in this, and just in general, how like crazy good they are. But the fact that they were shot 70% from three or whatever that was, or 60%, one of the two, and they were losing by 4 at halftime. It's just, UConn is just an inevitable force that's gonna kill you. It's just like, and the thing is, the craziest thing is they lost like top three players last season, and they somehow got better.
Yeah, they got the point better. Differential went up.
Yeah, I mean, they literally have a better team this year than they did last year. And they had a lottery pick on their team, a player, and then Snogo, he was a beast. And then one other guy, I can't remember what his name was, besides out of Jordan Hawkins and Snogo. But three guys that were gone, top three players. And then they bring in a guy like Cam Spencer, who's just a Dan Hurley guy. He's he's the grittiest guy out there.
Yeah,
he looks like the biggest fucking naff out there. Like, doesn't look like he looks like the least athletic out of anyone. Probably is out of that team. Yeah. They're starting.
Or he plays with heart.
he plays like, imagine, it's like if Dan Hurley's kid was actually good at basketball. That's basically what Cam Spencer is.
Probably
that's like what Dan Hurley's kid would be if he was good at basketball.
Yeah, UConn just absolute wagon, just rolling through everybody. And like, they're such an even team. Like, no one's really the superstar. Like, yeah, you got Tristan Newton and Diamond Kilgan. Why did I say that Klingon? So weird? Diamond Klingon. Yeah. Like, those are your top two guys. But then you got Stephon Castle, who's just a freshman, putting up numbers. And then Cam Spencer is just that perfect role player type of dude, get you steals, get you three pointers, draw fouls, just kind of the Swiss Army knife of that team. And they all know their role and they play it well.
I don't know. It's crazy that this team is just as good as it was last year. They're probably just gonna be as good as next year. I mean, how could you hate Dan Hurley? He's like the fucking greatest. He's so fucking funny.
He's hilarious. Oh, he does complain a lot, but it all seems like it's for the love of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I he complains in like a good manner. Like, it's not like he's complaining about, I mean, I think he more hates the fucking ticky-tack shit.
Yeah.
And like,
he's not cussing out the refs or anything like that. I don't think.
I also just love how like every time there's a flop, they pan to him and he just yelling, "That's a flop." Flop or that too.
Yeah. I mean, so this funny. Is just a fun hand motion. Just,
I don't even know, what does that even mean?
That's flop.
Oh,
or that's like the flop warning or whatever.
Oh yeah, he does that a lot too. It's hilarious. Yeah. And then what looked like, I mean, this was the most hyped game I think in the Final Four in a long time. I'm trying to think of like a championship game that was this hyped up. Like even recently. I mean, there's been Final Four games that were hyped up, like UNC Duke. I was very hyped up. But I can't remember a time where a game had like this much hype. Maybe I honestly think it might be like Duke Wisconsin. I think it might be that long since like a title game had this much push.
Possibly.
The title games have been good, but it's just there hasn't been like a heavyweight bout like this. I mean, you got 2 7-footers going at it. And I mean, this game was literally I don't know if this is how Purdue played all year, but if this is how they played all year, I don't understand how they made it this far. Because Zach Edey literally had to carry them in the first half. Pretty sure he had over half their points in the entire game. Like,
oh yeah. Purdue's usually a lot more balanced than that. Like,
it was bad. They were so bad. Even Braden Smith, like, he was fine, but he was still bad.
Yeah.
It was everyone was bad. Normal, it was horrible.
The normal Purdue, because Fletcher Lawyer didn't score. Lance Jones only got 5 points.
Fletcher Lawyer, that guy was a waste of space on the floor. Like, he seems like he's only a shooter. Like, he can't do anything else with the ball.
He tries to drive. Sometimes he tries to draw charges, but otherwise, yeah, just pure shooter. Trakoff and Wren was a non-factor besides the 2 fouls in the beginning. Or is that NC State I'm thinking of? Might be that. The coolest part of the whole night for Purdue was the Camden Heidi putback dunk. I don't think there's
that was any, fucking awesome.
I don't think there's any debate about that.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, and that, I thought that might have like given them some momentum to come back in the game, and it just didn't.
Yeah, you gotta just keep trolling. That's all there really is to say about this.
UConn didn't even play that good in the first half either. They were like kind of bad. They got in a little bit of foul trouble, and they were still up 6, kind of like the Alabama game. It's like inevitable. They are inevitable. They are always going to win. It seems like it just never stops. I mean, and it's the thing that really sucks about it, like, it doesn't suck, but they're not hateable is the issue. They're not a hateable team. UConn.
I was like, all right, yeah, you got one again. That's fine with me.
But the problem is like, they're going to get into the territory now where they're going to become hateable very soon. It could be that after this, because they're 3rd all-time in titles now. They've kind of ran the last quarter century of college basketball.
Yeah. Like
6 and 25 is crazy. 6 championships in 25 years is nuts.
That is crazy.
And they're now 3rd all-time in college basketball and national titles.
But like you said, Dan Hurley's not a hateable guy. There's no
he'll become very hateable soon. There's
no villain on that team at all that I know of.
And no.
You don't got the storylines around it like you do for Purdue or Duke or UNC or any of those other like great schools. So I don't know, it still may take a couple of years, but
the thing that helps them. Yeah, no, I don't hate them yet. I mean, they're annoying. They're getting annoying, I'd say. I don't hate them.
The fact that they've covered the spread in, what was it, like 13 straight tournament games?
The only team ever to win 12 tournament games in a row, I think it was by 13 plus points.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They covered the spread in most. It's crazy. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think they covered the spread in every one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's. I think what helps them is they're in the Big East, not a very – it's like a basketball conference, but it's not a big conference.
Yeah.
It's not as well nationally televised. So, like, they don't get, like, the coverage as much as, like, a Duke, a UNC, like, those schools, Kansas. But the Big East fucking hates them. They absolutely – I know the Big East hates them, obviously. But, like,
in conference, but though.
Eventually, it's going to get to the point where it's a national scale. Like, if they win next year – they might be most hated in the, like, outside of Duke, they might be the most hated.
That,
like, you if you winning 3 titles in a row, like anything, or starting a dynasty like that, like the Chiefs, like
a realistically, they don't have basketball would be crazy.
Yeah,
3-peat
or just 3 in 5 years would be nuts. I mean, it happens in women's, but like not men's. Like the only one that's notable is UCLA,
and that was a long time ago
in the 70s. But I mean, I think
64 teams.
Yeah. But if they win like 3 in a row, they're going to become so hated, and it's going to. I mean, it's. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not a bit. I'm a very big parody guy. Especially that's why I like college sports, because besides football, I mean, I guess football, but like college basketball, normally you never see repeat champions. It's not very common, so there's a lot of parody. And so, like, I didn't hate UConn winning. It just bothers me because I'd rather see new winners. Because also, it would have been hilarious to see Zach Edey win because people would have got so mad.
Oh, I would have been one of those people.
The turmoil online, you would have been mad?
I would have been upset, yeah. I've come to realize that I think I just am partly filling the role of Zach Edey hater. I think that's just my role to play in this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really hate him, but that's also because I don't go to a Big Ten school. I don't really watch Big Ten basketball because it's painful to watch.
He has improved, I will say that. But
he's
still,
actually good at basketball. Like, I don't understand why people think he's bad.
Like, I think he should be a first round pick. Like, I'm thinking like 20s ish, maybe late, I mean, lottery.
No, he won't get late lottery. There's no fucking chance.
I don't know. This is a very weak draft class. It could be a possibility.
Two-time. I don't think so.
National player.
I mean, fucking Luka Garza wasn't even a first round pick.
Nope, he was not. That is also true.
So, and he's a better all around player than Zach Edey, and he wasn't even a first round pick.
Yeah.
So, Zach Edey, I mean, he'll go in the first round probably because it's a weak draft class, like you said. But
not much you can do against 7-4 sometimes.
Like, he is literally like, he's actually good at basketball compared to like Camila Cardoso, who's just literally just a fucking rebounding and layup machine. Like, she does nothing good at basketball.
No,
I don't think she even moved out of the paint. Like, I don't know. Also, love that I love that they put this on TBS. It's not on CBS or whatever. I don't know why. Makes no sense. But the amount of people that are freaking out because the women's game had more viewers than the men's is crazy because, not everyone has TBS and not everyone has Max or whatever to stream it. So, like, if it would have been on CBS, it would have blown it out of the water probably. And so, like, people are freaking out about that because, like, the women's game was on ABC.
Yep.
And that's why that's why it had so much better numbers. That's why the national title game had better numbers than like the semifinal game, because the semifinal game was on ESPN. So like people, I mean, yeah, like I'm not saying it's a bad thing that the women's like it's crazy that they have that many people, but the glazing of the viewership is crazy because you're gonna go down, it's gonna go down a lot next year. Cause the only person that brings viewership in is Caitlin Clark, and that shows because look at the fucking semifinal game. Look at the other semifinal game. It had like half the viewers. Yeah, it had half the viewers of it. And people are like, popularity's up. Like,
looking at the past numbers, they would have been
because of Caitlin Clark.
Just about. Well, yeah, like,
Oh, yeah, they're about the same. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's gone up because Caitlin Clark's around.
If they can develop more rivalries, then it'll get a lot better because you don't got
the issue is with women's basketball. Like I've said, but like the reason why they're not popular is because they have the same fucking teams win every year.
Yeah, that is
like, I mean, it's helped in the last couple of years because you got the year of like Notre Dame, last year with LSU, Mississippi State. Like, you got a couple teams, but then, like, you go back, like, 10 years, and there was, like, a stretch where 4 years in a row was UConn.
Yeah,
like,
with Brianna Stewart and that super team.
And like I said, it's more impressive what Caitlin Clark did, bringing Iowa to two Final Fours in a row, than it is winning a perfect season in women's college basketball.
I saw
crazy that people actually would think that it's not.
I saw a video by Washed Up Walk-Ons, which is a Iowa podcast, and they were going over like the stats of the women's finals game. And they're like, do you know how many like 5-star recruits Iowa has on that team? One. Caitlin Clark. Do you know how many South Carolina has out of 15?
Four.
Out of 15? 14. The only one that was not was Tessa Johnson, the freshman that was knocking down all the threes.
They have 14 5-stars?
Out of 15 scholarship spots, they had 14.
According
to Watch Up Walk-Ons.
That's insane. Why would you want to, like, why would you not go play somewhere else? Like, does that mean, like, all these other schools, too, like the popular schools, they have that's how many 5-stars? Like, is it because you have to play for 4 years so that, like, I might as well just sit for a whole year, like, and just, like, sit there and wait for my chance because I only need like 2 years to pop off. And then because I have 4 years that I have to stay here anyways, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with women's college basketball is these top talent. They have that's the biggest issue too, is because of their eligibility for their draft rules. It makes it so that these 5-stars don't feel like they need to play right away. So then they're like, oh, I'm going to go play for Don Staley. which I don't even understand how she got so good. Like, what, like, where did she come from to become such a good coach? I don't even understand. Like, she was irrelevant 10 years ago. I don't get it.
Because I don't think she was coaching 10 years ago.
Was she not? She was, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't know. It's crazy. Don, I mean, her, like I said, her crying at the end, I'm like, bro, this is your third national title. Because, like,
she was at Temple.
So she got a better job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest. The reason, like, you get all these five stars and you're at a school like that, it's the boosters.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially in women's college basketball, like, it can't be hard to recruit if you're a top school. It really can't. Like,
no.
Look at Caitlin Clark. She literally said if she would have got an offer from UConn, nothing would have happened.
If she would have got a visit, she probably would have committed to UConn.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's just a pull from a name. Like, now in women and men's shit, like, you see five stars going everywhere now. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't generally, like, stick to, like, five different schools, like, the women's basketball. So, it's not, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not shitting on the product. I am. It sucks, but I'm not, like, shitting on, like, women's basketball. Like, good. Like, you guys, it's good that it's, like, gaining popularity, but, like, it's still horrible. It's still a bad watch. It's still very boring, and it's still so top heavy, and there's no parity, and you're never going to get traction. It's just never going to work.
Once anyone can beat anyone, that's when they will truly take off. Like,
yeah, true. I mean, exactly.
Only
that's, and it will never happen.
Three of the 4-1 seeds made it to the women's Final Four. I guess that's also, no, that's not the same for the men, because UNC and Houston got knocked out. So, yeah. But like I told you this already. My dad, he did a women's bracket. He got 8 wrong. He went full chalk. So the only one that didn't make it to the Final Four was Texas. And he finished in 36,000th, like, ish place. Like, that's just how there's just zero upsets. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, you have a couple, and it's just like, but then they lose right away. They don't, there's no, like, Cinderella runs in there. They just lose right away.
Exactly. Like, a Cinderella in women's basketball would probably be like a 5 or 6 seed, like, if we're being honest.
And that's not it. It's sad. Yeah. I don't know. And also, what made it so bad is you got freaking that Burden to Rossi show. Mm-hmm. They were so pissed that that Caitlin Clark beat UConn. They were so upset. They, like, shit on her the entire time. They would not give her flowers at all.
No. Oh, reality's coming for you.
Yeah. Like, what? She's going to cook in the WNBA. No one can shoot like her. No one can pass like her. She's literally the greatest women's basketball player of all time. And then you have that Lynette bitch
Who's
saying that her... Yeah, like, and then she went back on it because she got so much hate. Like, oh yeah, she broke my record, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you guys are such losers. I don't understand why Caitlin Clark makes people so mad. I don't get it, because, like, she's just good. And I don't understand it. Maybe I don't get it. Like, I don't want to say what I'm thinking in my head, because I'm just not going to say it. But I just don't get it. Like, I hope that she just tears up the WNBA. Hey, in the WNBA, they're going to get fucking publicity now. Like, it's crazy. Like, you guys are actually going to get something.
The Aces have moved their game against the Fever. Yep. They moved their game against the Fever into T-Mobile Arena.
Really? So
they get 8,000 more seats.
Why? They already have, like, they have their own arena that's not...
I think so.
Oh, that's right. There's a basketball arena. I don't know what it's called. I think it's where, like, UNLV plays or something like that.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah. Either way, it's women's basketball is a fucking joke, and it will continue to be a joke unless Caitlin Clark is involved, and people are just going to keep eating their words, but they'll keep talking. They'll keep talking, but they're going to eat their words, and it's hilarious. It's gonna be so awesome when she just cooks the WNBA, and I'm not gonna watch, but it's gonna be awesome when she does it. I mean, the draft is like in like a week too. Like I love how they just like no break because the way they play during like the NBA offseason, or they like somewhat do.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. I guess I was more passionate about other things than I thought. Well, that's just because it's stupid. But the this shit is bothering me. Fucking stadiums across MLB, fucking NFL, and now fucking the NHL. Did you see what just reported?
I did not.
The NHL is ready to move the Coyotes to Utah next season.
Oh. Okay. Like, what the fuck? I did see that the mayor of Glendale does not want the Coyotes anywhere near his town.
Yeah, because then they get approved, and that's where it's supposed to. They got approved for a stadium, and then isn't it supposed to be in Glendale? Is that what it was, or something like that? I can't remember. Actually, I thought it was in Phoenix. I have no idea.
It's North Phoenix.
Yeah, so like, league prepared to bring team to Utah as soon as next season. What the fuck? They literally just got approved for a stadium in Phoenix. Like, what's going on here? Like, and I don't even know if they have a stadium built. They must have a stadium built or like prepared, unless they're gonna like. You think they're going to turn the Utah Jazz Stadium into, like, also having hockey games?
Maybe.
Like, what the hell are you – you're going to have to rebrand. There's no way you're going to be called the Utah Coyotes. That sounds awful.
Well, then again, the Utah Jazz does sound awful, too. So yeah,
that's true. Utah's just filled with false, interesting names and interesting false, people.
False narratives.
Yeah. But other, I mean, that one I just saw, I was like, what the fuck? That's crazy. Like, they just got approved. And obviously, probably Brandon knows a lot more about this, like, or like he cares more about it than I do. I just think it's fucking hilarious. The A's, I can't believe it. They're going to be, they're fully committed to moving to a minor league stadium,
which is hilarious.
Girl, it's awesome. It's kind of fun. It kind
of
rocks.
For the city of Oakland. Like, I know it's got downhill.
I honestly, like, as much as I fucking hate John Fisher, scumbag. Like, I don't know. When did he start owning the team?
Let me see.
When did he have full operate? Like, was it recently? Like, or was it like, has he had the team for a while? I'm blanking. I don't know. See. I know that his family bought the team, but like, I'm trying to, but either way, I don't know. If it's only been within the last 5 years, yes, Oakland has every right to be pissed. But if he's had full control of the team for 20 years, which I don't know if he has, they have no reason. I mean, I get it, but like, I'm pretty sure he hasn't had control of the team for a while. Like, he gained control recently and from his parents. So then, yeah, I could see it. Like, he's putting out a horrible product. He doesn't care.
He's just been the owner since 2005.
He has, or the family has.
It says John Fisher, going to the San Francisco Chronicle.
So that's what's weird to me, is that unless it's because of the new collective bargaining agreement, why he's doing this, like why he's like not putting out a good product, spending the least amount of money as possible. Like, for A's fans, if that's the reason why he's doing it, then that's fucked up. But if that's not why he's doing it, then I think I'm not on the side of the A's fans then. Because also the city of Oakland, They've tried to get a new stadium for 20 years, and the city of Oakland has not approved of anything in 20 years. So, like, they've tried. So, like, maybe that's why they started just being like, fuck this. We're not going to do anything for the city because, like, fuck you guys if you're not going to give us a new stadium, which I can kind of agree with if that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
If that's the reason why they're putting out this shitty product of baseball, then I could see it.
Also, like, the city offered a new lease to the A's for the Coliseum that would run through.
Yeah, but
like
they don't
want
to be in the Coliseum is the issue. Like, that's
well,
the whole thing.
But I'm saying,
like,
that gives more time to work out a long-term deal.
But if they've been trying to do this for 20 years, what's going to change now? Nothing.
Desperation.
I guess, but they're not really that desperate if they're willing to play in a minor league stadium that holds like 10,000 people. I think there was just a what is the word I'm looking for? I mean, just both sides, what the fuck am I looking for? Like, the relationship is over. Like,
the bridges are burned.
Bridges are burned. I was like, something with bridges. The bridges are burned, I think, between the city and the team. I think it's beyond a breaking point. And I mean, it is sad for Oakland fans, but they kind of did it to themselves, because like, if they truly cared, they would have kept supporting this team even when they started getting back. Because like, the Coliseum was rocking like 5 years ago when their team was somewhat good. And yeah, the team traded away players, but that team also started getting bad. Like, even with their good players, it kind of got bad because their players were leaving. Mm-hmm. They weren't signing free agents. So then these players were leaving. They were trading people. And then the A's were like, well, A's fans are like, fuck this. It's like, it's hard for me to like side with the A's fans on this, but I'm not going to side with John Fisher because he's still a scumbag.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really.
Did you see his press conference at the minor league park in Sacramento?
I heard about it.
That he was like, oh, I'm so excited for all like the best players in MLB. Yeah, whether they be Aries players or Aaron Judge or whoever else. That's home runs out of here.
That's kind of funny.
How I mean, out of touch are you, man?
He's so bought into like being the fucking scumbag, and I kind of love it. But I also hate him. I also
like, don't think he realizes how much. I don't think he thinks that he's a scumbag at all. I don't think he's bought into it.
He's just
oblivious to it all.
He's oblivious. He's 100% oblivious. That's what makes it better, though. If he like knew it, I think it would be worse, but I think it makes it way better that he's so oblivious and he's like, he doesn't see anything wrong with what he's doing.
Right, exactly. Like, I hate the man, but you got to give it to him. He is. The right yes men around him.
Yeah, for real. No kidding. No kidding. I don't even know how a player would want to play. How do you sign a free agent contract with that team right now?
Yeah, you can't. You.
But they
can't go against ownership at all, because as we've seen, like, players that have like talked about like sell the team, things like that, they have got sent down or traded.
Yep. I don't understand how people are still signing with them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that is literally the MLB equivalent of Last Chance U is right there. The Oakland A's.
Yeah. You know what I also don't get? I mean, obviously they were pissed when the Raiders left, but that was also a stadium issue. Why was there not issues when the Warriors left? Why didn't no one make a big deal about that?
I don't know.
They left Oakland and went to San Francisco. Why did they not make a big deal about that? No one made a big deal about that. Their best team in the last 10 years left for San Francisco, mid dynasty, basically, right after their dynasty, like their three titles in 4 years, and just left for San Francisco. And you never heard anything about that. But as soon as these teams that have been somewhat irrelevant in the last 15 years, like the A's have been not good, they barely made the playoffs. I mean, they've been somewhat relevant. Like, they've been somewhat good in a couple seasons, but most seasons they've been bad. The Raiders have been dog shit.
It's mostly for so that long. I think those two teams were ingrained in the city more than the Warriors were.
Yeah, so for Warriors sure.
Kind of bounced for around sure. A little bit.
For sure. But it's just weird. And I mean, if anything, like, I'm still going to blame the city of Oakland in the end. Like, as much as John Fisher is a scumbag, they did this to themselves by not giving into these owners. Like, if you really wanted to keep the team around, you got to do it. You got to do it on your end. Because the owners are not going to – the owners do not give a fuck. They want to save as much money. They don't want to spend any money. So, and they'll move their teams if they want to. They will do it if they have to. They don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, they just don't give – like, speaking of that, like, the fucking Chiefs. The Chiefs are literally the world – like, a dynasty. One of the greatest teams in the they're the greatest team of the 20s. The 2020s, and they are talking about leaving Kansas City. They're seriously talking about it. Like, there's already talks about moving. Their ownership is somewhat one of the worst. They've won three titles in 5 years, and they have probably a bottom five owner in the league. How is that possible? I don't get it. And I mean, I love what the city of Kansas City is doing, though. They're sticking up. They're like, fuck you. You want $800 million in renovations, and you are only going to put up $300 million of it, and you want the city to pay for it? Like, that's the thing that pisses me off with owners now, is they're like, that they fucking won't pay for their own shit. Like, why the fuck should citizens have to pay for your fucking stadium with tax dollars?
Yeah, we spend enough money of ours at your places. yeah, business. I think you can handle it.
The fucking Chiefs owner is their ownership. The family is worth $25 billion, and they can only put up $300 million.
Yeah,
for an $800 million renovation that's supposed to help the fucking build a stadium for. Oh, also they were trying to build a stadium for Kansas City Royals, which seems like they're also going to leave too. Like the city of Saint or city of Missouri, within a 10 to 15 year period, huh?
The state of Missouri.
That's what I meant to say. The state of Missouri could literally lose every single team they have besides the Blues and the Cardinals within a 10 to 15 year period because they refuse to fucking these fucking owners are, I don't know what it is. Like I mean, the Rams, the reason why they left is because their popularity was going low with the St. Louis and they're like, yeah. Oh, let's just move to LA. Like it's better market, but
I don't know.
It's fucking nuts. I don't know why just teams, why don't people just do what the Vikings did? The Vikings, the way they did it, like as much as like it sucks, like you build a huge stadium and it's tax dollars, but the way they paid for the stadium was absolutely brilliant. Like no one talks about that enough. It was the smartest thing ever done for a sports stadium. They started the ETABs and the ETABs paid it off in like record time. Like they thought it was going to take 10 years to pay off the stadium. They paid it off in like 2 or 3 years. Like the stadium was paid off so fast because of gambling, e-pull tabs and shit like that. Like, and that's not even tax dollars. That's literally just like making money off of stuff. Like that's not even like, that's like, I mean, technically it's like tax dollars, but it's not. Like it's coming out of people's personal pockets. They're choosing to do this. Like we're not forcing you.
Yeah.
And they paid the stadium that way. Like how hard is it for cities or places to not be like, let's do this or something like that. Like, it's just dumb. I don't get it. Like, every place has pull tabs. There's no way that in every state doesn't have pull tabs. Maybe they don't.
Maybe that's just a Midwest thing.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Midwest people are addicted to pull tabs. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It's baffling. It's, I don't know. I also just think it's ridiculous that these owners just can't pay for their own stadiums. Like, I guess that it makes sense that it's so expensive. But then if you want to build a new stadium, fucking find some investors instead of using the city's or the state's tax dollars. Like there's no reason for teams and owners to get away with this anymore. And it pisses me off.
Yeah. Just, well, if we ever get to that level of wealth, we'll let you know if our opinion changes.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is like, with the Chiefs, it's like they have made it so clear that they do not give a fuck about the team. They say they do, but they don't. Like they care about their bottom line and that's it. Like, and that's probably what it is for most owners.
Oh yeah.
And for a team that's won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years, for them to literally be like, yeah, fuck you, city of Kansas City. Like,
but then again, they also got the most leverage right now.
Why? Because they're that good?
Yeah.
They do, but it's also a big fuck you still, because it shows that they don't care about the team. They're just there to make money. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I feel bad that every team, no matter who wins a fucking title, they hand the fucking trophy to the owner right away. Yeah. And it pisses, like the fact that Clark Hunt is up there getting the trophy first when he doesn't give 2 fucks about his team I hate the Chiefs, but it pisses me off. Like they asked them if they could build a new stadium or a new locker room because it's so old and small. And they gave him some chairs instead of some stools and said, here you go. Here's your upgrade. Like what a slap in the face to your players. I mean, that's 2 years in a row that they've gotten an F-.
I think the report owner grade. Cards.
Yeah. F-. That's pretty bad for a world
That's very bad.
Champion. I don't know. It's, I mean, would I love to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Yes, but I mean, yeah, it's like, of course I would. But at the same time, it's like, you are like, if you're a team, like, let's say you're a season ticket holder, goddamn, that would suck right now. You're like, there's a chance that you lose your team to a different city. I mean, the fact that the Dallas owner wants them to come because he hates the Cowboys probably so much is utterly fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I don't even know. Where would you put another team.
San I don't know. Antonio? That's what I was thinking.
San Antonio's too small, though.
It is. I don't know what you would do. That's the thing. Is like, where would they go?
St. Louis.
That would be funny.
Cross the other side.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to put them.
There really is nowhere to put them. I'm trying to think where you could put them. You could do a two Chicago teams.
You could.
Kind of like baseball. Yeah. I don't know. It's a joke. It's a joke. I don't know. Hey, sports are so fucking stupid because like you enjoy them, but then there's just so much stupid shit to it.
Too much politics.
Yeah, way too much. Like you think when they like once they got that rejected, they're like, sorry, we'll raise it to $350 million and you cover the 450 and we'll call it good. It's crazy. You're right. There is way like the fact that sports is like in deep down, there's so much politics in it is just ridiculous. And it shouldn't be that way.
I'm just looking at a map right now of all the teams, and there's just no way with a high density that you could put them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, where would you put them?
Oh, they could be. What if they were the London team? Not Jacksonville. The Chiefs are the London team.
Put them in Canada. If we ever get to that point. Actually, that would be crazy. Imagine that. They moved to Canada to like Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the CFL would be so pissed. I feel like there's something with the CFL and the NFL where there's probably like a collective bargaining agreement where they just like won't infiltrate into each other's like countries.
I don't know. Because the NFL does what it likes.
Yeah, that's true. But like Canada, though, a lot of Canadians don't give a fuck about the NFL too, though.
No.
They're CFLers for life.
Yeah.
They ride and die for the CFL.
I don't know. Interesting to see what happens with all of it.
I also like when they pointed out the stadium that they're moving to in San Francisco for the A's, that they pointed out that they could fit 4,000 people in the outfield grass. Yeah. It's 10,000 capacity, but it could be up to 14. Like they're going to – or no, it's Sacramento, not San Francisco. It's Sacramento, that's right.
Break out the lawn chairs, everybody.
Yeah.
We're sitting on the berm.
Also, it's – also, the Kings owner said that he was never going to play second fiddle to a team in his own city, and then he just like welcomed the A's with open arms. Not that they're going to be more popular than the Kings, which they probably won't. But
no, especially the rise of the Kings right now.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that? Can you imagine they're like capacity or like. How many people come to games? Like, what is that called?
Capacity?
Is that what it is? Imagine their capacity goes up. Like, they get more fans come to each game. That'd be nuts. That'd be kind of fucking hilarious.
I could honestly see it. Just something new to do in town.
Because Sacramento doesn't – they only have basketball. So then, like, during the summer, like, what do you do as a Sacramento fan? Okay, let's go watch the A's for a day. All right. Well, that's enough yapping about fucking certified stupid yappers. Ass odors. I was a certified yapper today. I yapped about so much shit that who cares? Like, but like I do because fuck these owners, fuck these cities. Like the fans is the only one thing that I care. Like even like Oakland A's fans, fine, I'll support you. But fuck the city of Oakland. Fuck John Fisher. Fuck Clark Hunt. That guy's a scumbag. That guy might be even more of a scumbag than John Fisher. He just sits behind the limelight of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and just makes it seem like he's the fucking King Ding-a-ling. But actually, he's just a piece of shit. But actually, no. But no, not fuck all the cities. I support Kansas City sticking up for themselves.
Yep. Good for them.
Fuck you. Saying fuck you to the Chiefs and the Royals saying, you don't get my money, bitch. Get it yourself.
I'm sure they'll work something out.
Yeah, probably. I mean... Kansas City cannot afford to lose those teams.
Nope.
That city is going to be like the biggest like drive-through city on I-35 to Texas. Be like, oh, guess we got to go through Kansas City. There's nothing to do there anymore.
Stop for barbecue for half an hour and call
you. Yeah. Like the barbecue scene might die if there's no sports. Probably not. But yeah, literally Kansas City, they won't. I mean, they're known for their barbecue, but they'll be more known for their barbecue because they won't have any fucking teams in their city.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's going to do it for us here at Certified Yapper Podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
Yeah.